You heard that safe drivers get rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw an ad for a vintage baseball cap, and now you find yourself checking the stats of that team's second baseman in 97, wondering why his stolen base total dropped after his rookie season. Wonder how much his rookie card is worth. Yes, they said it was easy to save money with Snapshot from Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Delhi Decoded. I'm Pritika Khanna, your host, and I'm here with your weekly update from the national capital. In this podcast, each episode, we pick a pin code from Delhi and dive into the most famous buildings, landmarks, and stories from that pin code. For those of you who are from Delhi, I'm sure you have some special memories from these places. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, I'll help you get a peek into the pulse of Delhi.
Hamari apni Delhi.
Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal held a meeting in the first week of August with a panel of industry leaders, young entrepreneurs, to kickstart the consultation process for Delhi's new policy for startups. The idea is to discuss ways to develop Delhi as a leading choice for startups. According to the state government, the objective of such a policy is to support entrepreneurs, build a robust economic and policy infrastructure that will create new jobs and bring new competitive dynamics into the current economic system. In the first round, the Chief Minister held consultations with experts from various sectors to get their ideas and suggestions on the initiative. Following these consultations, the government will release a draft. Following these consultations, the government will release a draft startup policy, which will be available online for people to send in their suggestions. These steps are important given the large number of startups in Delhi. According to a report by TIE from September 2019, there are over 7,000 startups from Delhi, which make it the highest number of active startups in the country. These companies combined have a valuation of about $50 billion. The report states that Delhi NCR is set to become one of the top five global startup hubs with 12,000 startups, 30 unicorns, and a cumulative valuation of about $150 billion by 2025. These steps are all the more important given the negative effect that COVID-19 and the subsequent lockdowns have had on livelihoods across the In West Delhi's 110015 is Avishkar's office. Avishkar is an edtech startup which works on robotics and coding education. I have with me today Tarun Bhalla, the CEO and founder of Avishkar, who was part of the meeting with the Delhi Chief Minister last week, to share some of the suggestions discussed in the meeting along with his journey of starting a company in Delhi. Thank you, Tarun, for joining me on Delhi Decoded today.
Hi, Pritika. It's a pleasure.
Let me get straight to the questions. You were part of the meeting that the Chief Minister held over last weekend. What, according to you, were some of the key highlights that came up from the meeting?
So many highlights did come up from that meeting. I would just firstly like to talk about, you know, the fact that I was absolutely happy to be invited as a part of Avishkar to be there, and specifically by Mr. Kejriwal, because, you know, I have got a chance to interact with other politicians as well in the past, but he definitely comes across as a different one. Was very much interested in listening to the challenges that, you know, the entrepreneurs, the academic experts, the industry experts were facing and talking about. So that was definitely a very, very thoughtful and very diverse meeting that we had during that time.
Okay. What were some of the suggestions that you pitched that a startup policy should have?
Okay. So, I just building upon the things that we talked about, and the fact that I mentioned that the audience was fairly diverse. So building upon that idea, there were different kind of people with giving different kind of suggestions. There was Mr. Ajay Chaudhary, who was an industry stalwart, you know, who built HCL from ground zero to what it is today. So his suggestions were at a different plane than, say, compared to mine, who is a fairly young entrepreneur trying to, you know, find the feet on the ground with the my startup Avishkar. And then there were investors, there were NGOs who helped startups to, or small businesses to establish. So, you know, different suggestions came from different quarters. I'm happy to talk about, you know, some of the suggestions that people gave from their perspective. I'm happy to talk about the suggestions that I gave. Which direction do you want me to take first?
Let's talk about the suggestions that came from industry, and then we'll move on to the suggestions that you give.
Okay. So, you know, I was very fortunate to hear what Mr. Ajay Chaudhary was talking about. So he categorically talked about, you know, creating some mission sectors. So when I say mission sectors, he was saying that, you know, you can theoretically, you can build any industry anywhere, anytime in the world. But what he was suggesting, you know, we should have a very focused approach on what kind of industry we want to build in Delhi and what are the things that we should be doing about that. So, which I found as a good suggestion. So, for instance, what he was talking about was, you know, pitching or focusing on ESTM, which is electronic sector manufacturing units. Then he was talking about, you know, creating a special zone for VLSI companies, special zone for artificial intelligence, artificial robotics companies. So more geared towards next generation machine learning startups. Hmm. So that was the idea that he had. So one big suggestion from his end was that we should be promoting certain kind of industries within Delhi NCR region, or specifically Delhi for that matter. The second suggestion he had was, you know, to talk about kind of creating academic and industry expertise. So Delhi seems to have a tremendous talent pool because of the number of engineering colleges, universities, campuses that we have. So definitely there is a huge possibility of creating industry academic partnerships in Delhi. So that's the second thing that he talked about. The third thing that he very interestingly talked about was, you know, can Delhi government start a partnership with a global entrepreneurship school to kind of start, you know, giving entrepreneurship programs or entrepreneurship classes to young professionals in Delhi, which I think is a fantastic idea. Yeah. So he specifically named Babson College, which is world renowned for its, you know, entrepreneurship programs. So, you know, again, this was definitely, you know, kind of a hallmark of a leader who has seen it all. So that was Mr. Ajay Chaudhary. Apart from that, another suggestion that really caught my attention was from Mr. Rajan Anandan. Rajan Anandan is he is the managing director and a chief investor at Sequoia Capital, which is world-renowned venture capital firm. Apart from that, yep, he used to run Google in India. So his suggestion was again very interesting. He talked about, you know, the dynamics of how companies, when they start up in Delhi, they might start up in Delhi, but when it comes to really exploding their team size or to expand their workforce, they move out of Delhi. They either go to Gurgaon or they go to, you know, they go to Bangalore. So for instance, it was a very startling fact that there is not even a single unicorn, like $1 billion, you know, valued enterprise based out of Delhi. Everything, once it becomes to that range, either moves to Gurgaon or moves to Noida recently, or earlier it used to happen to Bangalore. So that's again another, you know, area where he suggested that, you know, Delhi's real estate prices have to be brought under control. Delhi's, you know, physical infrastructure has to be made more conducive for startups to run. So that was another very good suggestion or very interesting perspective or angle that I thought, which I did not have while I was attending the call.
Hmm. That's actually very interesting, because when somebody does mention startups in India, usually I think the first place that comes to your mind is Bangalore. Yeah, Delhi is not the first place that comes to your mind when someone mentions startups.
I have actually a theory on that.
What is the theory?
So the theory is, you know, in Bangalore, it's fashionable to be an entrepreneur. In Delhi, you have to fight it out to be an entrepreneur. So here, people, only those people who really want to be an entrepreneur will be entrepreneur, and that's why they hopefully will succeed. Whereas in Bangalore, every Tom, Dick or Harry, or, you know, their uncle as well, while traveling on a bus, will talk about entrepreneurship.
Interesting. What were some of your suggestions? How would you see a startup policy to be? What would you want in there? What were your suggestions?
Okay, so you know, I have been an entrepreneur for some time. So my suggestions have come with that kind of on the ground, you know, experience, or you know, my years of struggling as a bootstrap entrepreneur. So my suggestions were more here and now, and the on the ground challenges that a lot of enterprises would face. So first suggestion I had, or first suggestion I think any entrepreneur who has spent some amount of time or who has cut teeth in the entrepreneurial world will have, is that, you know, we need to be given access to capital. And it becomes a lot more true in today's day and age after COVID-19. So, you know, what does a company need? Company needs cash to do anything, for that matter. You know, I mean, I can, as an individual, write some piece of code and maybe get a website or an app up, or maybe create a prototype of a hardware out. But really, for me to take it to next level, to take it in front of the customers, to take it in front of the society, to mass produce it, you know, to buy more servers, I would need capital. And to hire more people also, I will need capital. So the underlying and fundamental force behind anything that an enterprise does is capital. And that is where, you know, we lack so much, not only in Delhi, but in the whole country, where we don't have access to quality capital at cheaper rates. In the past, you know, the older generation of Marwari entrepreneurs or other, you know, homegrown entrepreneurs, they had capital from the network that they had created, but that was not really a professional capital. That was, you know, I like you, that's why I give you money. Whereas what we are looking for is, you know, the business is great, the idea is great, we are motivated and passionate about it, so we need capital. That was my first suggestion, that, you know, easier access to capital. I mean, post-COVID, pre-COVID, any time in the world, or any time, you know, capital has to be brought, you know, brought to people or to entrepreneurs. That was my first suggestion. My second suggestion was, you know, given, and that was basically, you know, given the realities of today. After COVID, a lot of companies have lost their sources of revenue, and they're struggling to pay the bills, to keep the shop running, to keep the employees coming in, paying for their salaries. So now we have in Delhi a minimum wage act. You know, the labor laws are just, you know, there are around close to 17 different regulations around labor laws if you want to run a production unit in Delhi. So, you know, now with that happening and your minimum wage is almost being 17,500, which is twice as in a shop in Haryana or, Uttar Pradesh. So the Minimum Wages Act mandates these minimum salaries of employees in Delhi to be twice as much as what it is there in Noida or Uttar Pradesh or Haryana. So now with that kind of, you know, so for every person that I hire, if I end up paying 10,000 rupees more, now just imagine I have a workforce of 30 people, then I'm actually paying 3 lakh rupees on a monthly basis, or an annual basis, 36 lakh rupees, which is, you know, which is quite a chunk of money for a company of our size or for small MSMEs. So now, you know, and this problem becomes, although, I mean, I'm in favor of having the labor laws and enforcing them, but during the pandemic time, I think people will not be worried if they are paid a couple of thousand lesser, if they, till the time they are able to hold on to their job. So, or you know, or even permanently lose their job. So I am to the brink where I'm thinking now to move our production unit to Noida, because, you know, 36 lakhs a year, this year, you know, we can do a lot with 36 lakhs.
True. I think the challenge gets even more interesting for a place like Delhi, because both Gurgaon and Noida are so close by.
I think
with the NCR setup, I think it gets even more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you have options. I mean, you know, the supply chain is slightly, I mean, in some sense, more sophisticatedly developed, say, Noida and Greater Noida, than if you compare it to Rama Road or, you know, Parvat or Naraina or Kirtinagar industrial areas. So my second suggestion to that extent was, you know, can we do away with the Minimum Wages Act at least for a year? I mean, the best example that you can see in front of you is, you know, Uttar Pradesh. They did away with labor laws at least for next 5 years so that they can invite, you know, companies to set up shop. My third suggestion was on the end of, you know, again, helping the small and the small and medium enterprises or MSMEs. So basically, you know, a good chunk of today's expenses would be rents that we are paying, which we were paying based on, you know, the revenues we were earning, say, you know, a year before now. So, I mean, in our situation, I would say, you know, one of our bigger clients is actually schools. So now schools being shut, our cash flows have been impacted quite a bit. So any company, you know, whose cash flow is impacted, say, to an extent of 50 to 60%, you can imagine how much of a pain it would be to pay their existing rentals of the premises. So I had asked or requested the Honorable Chief Minister that can something be done on regulating or, you know, government chipping in and paying some part of the rent and electricity. So if that happens, then, you know, this money can be then geared towards paying the salary of people, investing into product development, making some sort of capex investments so that, you know, when the times are right, these investments can play a huge role in establishing ourselves in a unique position. And finally, my last suggestion was, you know, now more than ever, with the offline world not really working out, younger entrepreneurs and startups would be requiring platforms where they can showcase their products and services. So can Delhi government do something to the extent of setting up a website where we can, you know, we can probably at a very minimal subscription fee, talk about our products and offerings so that, and then, you know, the Delhi government just goes on markets itself, goes on a marketing blitz and bring customers onto that platform and people can probably explore us or find us, find more about us on that platform. That is one option. This second option is Delhi government with its, you know, with its social media and other, you know, electronic media might can bring in traffic, whether in terms of views on the television ads or actual booklets, physical, you know, catalogs being sent to different businesses and houses and residential complexes, or, you know, buying in eyeballs on the internet, can bring traffic to that platform so that, you know, we can get some visibility without it burning a hole in our pocket. So those were my four here and now suggestions for the Honorable Chief Minister.
Do you think that a startup policy was long time coming?
Yeah. you know, yes. See, if you look at, you know, if you look around yourself at what is happening around the world, the reality is, you know, not many jobs are going to get created now in the traditional sectors. So big manufacturing units would be probably getting robots or automated machines or conveyor belts to produce more. Then big software industry or big knowledge industry will have the advent of AI, bots and other things to, you know, to reduce the requirement of manpower. So where are the jobs going to be created? I mean, maybe service sector, yes, but, you know, what other options are there? So I can only see startups as being a credible sources of generating new jobs. Barring that, you know, your big industry, they would be, you know, buying robotics, automation. Knowledge sector is going to rely upon the software algorithms. It is only the startups which are going to be a credible option of creating jobs. So any government which is serious about creating employment or improving the standard of living of its citizens has to invest, has to get behind, you know, startups like There's No Tomorrow.
This is actually a very interesting thought. Coming to Avishkar, can you tell us a bit about what you do? And also, given that you're a founder yourself, how was your journey and what do you think can be done differently now for more startups that are, you know, starting out now?
Okay. So as far as Avishkar is concerned, you know, Avishkar, we are true to the mission of the name that it is, Avishkar. So we are essentially creating a learning platform or a de facto platform where anyone, whether it is a school or a child or a parent who's interested in getting next generation exponential skills like, you know, exponential tech like AI, coding, machine learning, drones, 3D printers, anyone who wants to have skills in these areas can come to our platform. And we have a combination of online courses as well as actual hardware boxes and kits that that children can buy or parents can buy for their children or schools can buy as a package for their schools you know, an assisted curricula which allows them to become good at these next generation technologies. See, what's going to happen in the future is, you know, your concept of degrees, institution, colleges is just going to go away. I mean, and I think that's going to become far truer now with the COVID thing than what it was before COVID. So the skills will matter a lot. So what we are essentially trying to become or are becoming is basically a platform where all these next generation technologies skills can be learned for young children and you know, children from the age 5 to 15 years old. So that's what Avishkar is. So kind of answering to your second part of the question, where, you know, what was my journey like, and what are the things that I would do differently. So just to give you, you know, some historical perspective, I've been an entrepreneur for quite a few years now. So when I had started, I had moved from US to India to start this enterprise. I was very much, you know, motivated and passionate about developing these skills amongst the children of India and South Asia. So some of my friends at the same time started similar enterprises in US. But to give you a comparison, a couple of them have actually become unicorns or billion-dollar enterprises. And I, not that I have done very, very badly, but I'm still struggling for some basics. So that way is the ecosystem which is available for people to run their companies, say, in, you know, Western economies, whether it is US, UK, or even, you know, Eastern economies like Japan and China, are at a far, you know, higher, better pedestal, whether it is, you know, access to capital, whether it is access to talent, whether it is overall acceptance from the society, everything, there is a 10x advantage that those people have. But having, not everything is, you know, dark and gloomy. When I started, it was challenging, but now things have become easier. There are more success stories in India. You have Flipkart, you have Zomato, you have Swiggy, you have Amazon. And everyone knows what a startup is. Everyone, the term entrepreneur has entered into the lexicon. So it is far more easier for people to be entrepreneurial now than, say, you know, 7-8 years back when I had started. So that's one big difference I see. In terms of challenges, see, we are a very unique enterprise. We are not only developing a website or a app or a tech platform. We also have actual hardware. So doing hardware in India is tough. I mean, I strongly believe, you know, the government should give you a bravery award just for you being a hardware entrepreneur, because, you know, you have to develop supply chains. You have to ensure that, you know, the procurement policies are in place. The kind of skills that are required in a hardware firm are slightly different than, you know, what you would require in software. So you need people who have done VLSI, electronics manufacturing, PCB designing, embedded systems. These are hardcore, you know, solid engineering fields. For us to find good talent who has done this kind of work in the past, being available now is always a challenge. So, you know, we have a supply side constraint of sourcing partners. We have a supply side constraint of, you know, talent. We have, we don't have much demand constraint, but we do have a constraint on, you know, how people see quality, especially from the producer standpoint here. So the QA is a big challenge in India. So having said that, those are, you know, apart from that, you know, the usual challenges of finding the right people, you know, having access to capital, and, you know, promoting ourselves, getting right people in different domains of the company. So apart from, you know, apart from the specific hardware, sourcing / vendor management challenges, the normal challenges are there. So, you know, that way is, to be honest, I don't think those three specific hardware specific challenges have been solved in India, because there hasn't been a huge hardware success story in India. So that's a huge thing. And now with, you know, this huge kind of movement towards make in India, not having imports coming from China or from other parts of the world, I think if we can, you know, solve this problem, we will solve the problem of employment. We will solve the problem of talent getting wasted. I mean, we will be able to solve a lot of problem if we can fix the manufacturing sector in India.
That's actually very nice to hear. And there's a lot of hope for India. My last question, if you were to start out today, would you do something differently?
My instinct, I would say that I will, instead of, you know, right away jumping into starting a company, I will spend time on three areas. First is get my research right. What is the product I'm trying to make? How do I achieve product market fit for that? That will be important. Second is I will be very, very conscious about how do I go about raising capital. So capital is like oxygen. I mean, if you don't have it, you will die. So, you know, the young me, the youthful me 10 years back, could have survived living at arms, but now with a family and now knowing what capital can do to your business, you know, because I have raised a round of capital, then you know I would be very, very careful about my capital raise plan. So that's the second thing I will do. And third and final one, you know, get a right quality of right kind of team. People who you can go with, whom you can go to a war on, are the kind of people that you know you require when you are running a startup. So you know, a lot of running a startup would mean that you have to cross a lot of gates of hell, and you need to have people who are ready to do that for you and do that with you. So basically it's the team, the capital plan, as well as getting your product market fit and research right. Those are the three things I will try to take care of before I get started on building my next organization.
That sounds like some good advice for people starting out today. Thank you for joining us today. That's all from me this week. I'll be back next week with a new PIN code. Until then, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. We are always looking to hear your thoughts and suggestions. We're ever present on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at HT Smartcast. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pritika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy.
This was a Livemint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.